That's the number to call if you want to be on the air here on Bathrooms, Pews, Broadsides. I have a couple of guests in the studio with me today. I have the indefatigable camper and huff activist, Dragon's Heart Dan Hopkins. Dan, talking to the other mic and see how we're doing. Oh boy, I'm talking to the wrong mic here. Well, as long as we got two operational mics, that's fine. How you doing, Dan?
Okay, good morning.
Yeah, good, that's good.
All right.
Today is kind of a sad day because everybody's being shipped up to New Brighton Beach, and I heard it's much colder up there, and we really don't know what's going to happen. If we end up staying there till January 1, we will have no place to go at all, and so we have to pack up our tents and everything and try to figure out what we're going to do, especially if we don't have income. We're just out there to fend for ourselves, have no idea what's going to happen after January 1.
I, of course, have said this many times, Dan, but what's your take on this? I've said that it seems to me that they want to move people who are potential protesters as well as a real black eye on the Citizens Committee and on the City Council, because the City Council participated in these negotiations out of sight, down the road, to New Brighton Beach, where they'll be outside the city limits, where they'll be on property, which if they try to protest, the state will be, of course, called, and the state troopers will deal with them, or park police will deal with them. Here in the city, the Citizens Committee would have to file the trespass complaint, and the city police would have to enforce the kick the homeless off homeless property.
Yeah, the one thing that kind of bothered me during the meeting that they had over there was after the meeting, they tried to silence Robert here, who's a person in the community who is concerned and an activist, and they tried to, like, act as if anything he said had no bearing whatsoever on the homeless situation, and saying that he's not a homeless person, he doesn't live in the camp, so he doesn't mean anything. But the thing that they were actually yelling at me at the end of the meeting, and I yelled out at them, and I said, hey, you don't have to be a homeless person in order to care about the homeless and try to do anything, you know. And one of the things about Robert is that he spends many hours a day on homeless issues throughout the community and things. And as far as I'm concerned, he cares more about the homeless than anyone else because he has the courage to keep going forward even when everyone else wants to back off and be diplomatic and all this sort of thing. So
I am a wonderful guy. I mean, there is no question about that. And you can send your cards and letters to me. Actually, my interest has been in seeing people, and still is, by the way, in seeing people get together to do some serious confrontation of people for breaking their promises, breaking their word. And for years, the city council has done this number, as have other cities. I mean, I don't want to leave out other cities, but this is the city that I live in. This is the city that we all live in. This is Santa Cruz, the city with the worst sleeping ban in the state, where it's illegal to sleep after 11 o'clock at night outside in a vehicle, anywhere in town, with the exception of a church parking lot, up to three vehicles under the auspices of the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. That exception is a good one. It was made last summer by city council members after we agitated for a decade to get it. But the campground situation, which really allows campers some power, and here's the problem again, campers have power. Campers have power that they don't know. Even the campers who are out of the campground now, striking their tents and rushing into the buses, supposedly into this great safe sanctuary, they're trading 2 weeks of safety for months of insecurity. Because obviously the reason that these concessions are being offered is they're afraid of what campers might do downtown. They're afraid of how the community will react when this issue is really exposed. Because there are hundreds of homeless people in Santa Cruz who sleep and live illegally. And if even a fraction of those people show up in front of the merchants demanding that the city council keep its word and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless keep its word to campers, it's not going to be a Merry Christmas in Santa Cruz when the national media gets a hold of it. So campers have power. They have power for the next week. And the Citizens Committee for the Homeless and the city council want to remove that power. They want that power dispersed, and they want the issue maybe to resurface on January 1st when the whole issue of holiday shopping is a less significant one, when the media are no longer focusing on how much of a contradiction it is to have people dumped on the streets at Christmas. And you can say, well, these people are being very nice, Citizens Committee. They're sending these 47 campers with their tents down to paying for their way in New Brighton Beach. I think it's a waste of money, folks. I think that they have, this is miles away from the homeless facilities, miles away from the free meal, miles away from all the kinds of support services that emergency shelter people need, and that's what that campground is. It's an open-air emergency shelter. No, this is a political move. This is a move to buy off and scare off campers, and it has worked so far. But who knows whether it will continue to work, because the 2 weeks is going to be gone very, very quickly. And some people, even though they're going there, are not blind to what's going on. Some people are aware that there was a deal made, and a deal signed, and hands shaked. The Daryl Darling with his big, fat grin, and I'm sorry, Daryl, I am angry with you to the max. Daryl's a very personable guy, but when I see him smiling away as others grovel in front of him and in front of Mike Rotkin, which is what happened 2 days ago, my gorge rises. And I remember that here's a man who lives very well, who has an expensive bed and breakfast place on the other side of town, and whose decisions are destroying the homes, the tents, the opportunity for a safe place to be for literally hundreds of people. You can say, well, the number of people has dropped. The armory now takes... How many people went to the armory last night? Do you know, Dan?
Probably about 100, but I'm not really sure. On that figure.
You know, some people are getting into the armory, and I mean, that's fine for those who need or want to go into the armory. But there are hundreds of people in Santa Cruz, some who can only use that campground for reasons we've talked about before on this show. They have dogs that they're going to have to destroy. They have jobs they need to get to, and they can't do it because of the armory schedule, even though there will be a late-night pickup. They have couples, and couples are specifically told you cannot go there and have, you know, couples together, sex is a no-no. They have family, in essence. And also, there's the business of where you're going to be during the day. You know, if you cannot maintain a stable campsite during the day where your stuff is secure, you know, what do you got? You got your carrying around your life and your back, or trying to stuff it into a locker. You know, well, that's what the shelter emergency was about, that the city council declared, not to keep a campground open, not to open up more emergency low-income housing. No, so they could open up a bay in the homeless community resource center area where people could stash some more of their stuff and maybe lose it and get it, and maybe it'll get ripped off, as has been happening in lockers outside at the homeless community resource center. And I'm not saying that happens all the time. I'm saying that the whole situation where there's a camp is much more secure. You have friends to look after your stuff. You have a legal place to be than it is to hand your stuff over to some bureaucrats who get to pay themselves more money for looking after it. What do you think, Dan?
Well, I think that what we should have done, where we made a serious mistake, was we should have protested right from the first day that we knew that this kind of stuff was going on. They weren't keeping their word. We should have protested every single day, at least once to twice a day, for the entire Christmas season. And one of the things that I'd like to ask of the listeners here, if you're a concerned person, you do not have to be a homeless person. If you're a concerned person, if you can call 423-HUFF, that's 423-HUFF, and if you're willing to protest with us, we'd be glad to have you. The problem that comes in is because we're being dispersed out to New Brighton Beach, it's going to be hard for the people to actually participate themselves. And another thing that comes into the play is there's a majority of the homeless campers whose self-esteem is so low now, because they were not empowered in the camp, that they feel that they can't really stand up for themselves. And what is it going to, you know, what kind of power do I have? They feel like they have absolutely no power whatsoever. And if you can do that, I'm kind of at a loss for words, but one of the worst parts of the thing that's happened here is a lot of people are going to have to put their dogs to sleep because they have nobody to take their dogs, and especially after January 1, there will be no place for them to go. And if they want to keep warm, they might have to put their dog to sleep. There's a lot of people going to have to quit their jobs because the buses don't run early enough to take them to their jobs. It's a far-out site. They basically have put us on a bus and shipped us out of town is basically what it amounts to. And I'm sure they're going to get a big laugh out of that. The city council really didn't do that much for us. As a matter of fact, some of the city council members were definitely against the homeless. And we're not criminals. I met very, very many homeless people who have a lot of talents, and a lot of people were middle class before. One guy was making $40,000 a year. He got hurt, so he ended up homeless, and the operation's been postponed. So now here he is a year and a half, and he's still homeless. And there's a lot of inhuman treatment that went on at the camp. A lot of times we couldn't even get toilet paper, of all things. toilet paper, you know. And last night there was no toilet paper in the one porta potty that we had left, and there was no one there that we could see that we could ask. The door was closed on the staff office.
There's some people who actually have been talking about, Dan, excuse me for interrupting.
Okay, sure.
Continue what you're saying, but there's some people have been talking about a toilet paper protest downtown. I mean, people may know that there are parking garages with restrooms that are open at night, not open at night, that are available to be opened at night, and could be opened at night by homeless volunteers. To the best of my knowledge, they haven't been opened at night. They're open during the day and sometimes staffed by homeless volunteers. But the city council, in its majestic wisdom and tight-pursedness, has not seen fit to try to get these restrooms open at night. Well, one solution for campers could be to occupy, here's just one idea, a section of the public parking garage. After all, they're not used late at night. They're free from their shelter from the rain. There's a restroom nearby. I mean, it seems to me a possibility for a protest. People out there who want to join this protest should call 423-HUFF. Again, we have a variety of ideas for bringing these issues home to those in the city who prefer to look the other way, who prefer to stick their noses in the air and walk on, who prefer to allow a group that calls itself the Citizens Committee for the Homeless to just lie their heads off to campers, and then stick out their chests and beat their breasts and pat themselves on the back for being so wonderful. I mean, it is the most disgusting thing I have seen. I'm sorry, Dan. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. And I'd like to say a little bit about what he just said. Was Citizens Committee for the Homeless. I read a newspaper article from the past, and it wasn't from this year. But the sentence went like this, and it explains everything in a nutshell in a very short sentence. It says, Citizens Committee for the Homeless evict the homeless. Can you imagine that? How can the city council allow somebody to have a title like that? What making the people, the citizens of Santa Cruz, believe that these people represent the homeless community? How can we do that and evict people, you know? And then one of the things is that I don't understand is it was so poorly managed, you know? I was in management for like 17 years in the retail industry. I used to set up stores and things like that. But anyway, if we would have had employees, like the employees that were monitoring this field, this open air shelter, we would have fired them within 3 days for incompetence or not doing their job. And it's really sickening, you know, that part of it. And in my heart, I know that somebody's probably going to die out of this situation. Someone's going to be hurt. Some woman's going to be raped because she's out in the forest or something trying to fend for herself. Something's going to happen to someone. I know that. In the Citizens Committee, I told them that. I told the City Council that. And they choose to not really mention anything about that. As a matter of fact, there was one person that did mention something about it, and that was Scott Kennedy. When he came out there, as he was walking past me, oh, you tried to lay this moral trope on us. When I told them that someone might die because of this, you know, not might, there probably is going to be someone die, maybe more than one person as a result of this, directly or indirectly. And so I said, yes, it is a moral thing, it's a spiritual thing, and it's a religious thing. What they're doing is against every religion, every form of spirituality there is, every moral, and every right thing to do. Homeless people are not criminals. You know, they are human beings. They have feelings. Some of them have bad pasts. You know, maybe they came from parents with alcoholism or something like that. Maybe they're alcoholics in some way, you know. But that doesn't mean that they're not human beings. And they don't need to be, you know, rocks thrown at them like Stefan last night was walking across the bridge and somebody threw two rocks and hit him in the face, and Stefan's a person who's almost totally disabled. He didn't deserve that.
There was also some concern that Stefan was unable to get into the armory. He wasn't able to get in the armory when I was there. Did he go to the armory last night? Or
they said finally he did. Stefan evidently wasn't going to the armory at first, and then I wasn't there, but this is what I heard, that he wasn't going to be able to go to the armory. And then finally, when he seen his condition, they decided that they'd better send him to the armory. Here's a person who's a Vietnam vet. He has multiple injuries, you know, he can barely walk and stuff like that. And we have been trying for quite some time to try to get some help for him. We keep asking for help for him. And only just at the very last minute, a few days ago, they decided they were going to try to help Stefan. They allowed that to happen. They let this person just go, you know, and he has alcohol problems and things, and falling all over the place. He has to wear a helmet because he has a hole in his head and different other injuries. And only now did they, I don't know why they have to be forced to care about somebody. Here's an organization that has some people that were in the clergy before, and now they're running this place. I can't even imagine that they were clergy people before, you know, serving people and trying to help people. And instead, they let this thing go. They could have walked out on the field on the workmen's shelter at any point in time and said, folks, we got a problem. Can you help us with the problems in this camp? And the homeless people had all the answers, as we found out now. We were starting to form a highly organized society within the camp, but we only had like 2 weeks to do it. And we needed a few more weeks to really organize it, you know, to where everything would be just like really, really good.
You began to weatherize tents, as I remember, and also to deal with discipline problems. I played a couple of your meetings, one of your meetings where you had an organizational meeting on December 6th. But actually, we have an incoming call. Let's see what the caller has to say.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
I just wanted to say that I feel that an important part of this radio station is that there are people out there listening. This station only broadcasts like 2 miles, but that's a lot of people in the city of Santa Cruz, and I think that the people listening should complete the chain of communication. You should call the mayor's office at 429-3540 and ask why this is happening. You should call the city council at 429-3550 and you should ask, why is this happening? You should call up the Sentinel newspaper at 423-4242 and just ask, or call KSCO 479-1080 and get on the air and say, well, what's going on? Because that's what this radio station can do. It can reach out to you, but you have to reach out too. And you have a phone. That's part of the electronic technology. So call these numbers or look them up in your telephone book if you don't remember them. That's all I have to say.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you. For those who are interested, those numbers are City Council 429-3550, Mayor Mike Rotkin 3540. Thank you, Little Star. Santa Cruz Sentinel 423-4242, and the number of KSCO 479-1080. Here's another call coming in.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, hey, my name is Joe Hort, and I'd like to say a few words.
Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, instead of sniffling about what happened and all that,
Yeah. Well,
I think we should focus on breaking the ban in camp, because there, you know, camping ban,
yes,
that's going on, over
right,
the county and all that.
Uh-huh.
But we should organize it and try to break it.
Right on.
And that's the main issue, where people could camp, you know, without getting tickets and all that, and harass, because so they're now $180 each ticket.
You're a camper yourself?
For everybody.
Right.
And I'm camping on myself, on
right,
and off.
Right, and so you yourself face that threat of police harassment whenever you camp, right?
Oh, every day of the week. Anywhere. So what we have to do is just stick together with the homeless shelter and those people who really want to, and let's break this camping.
The camping ban?
Break the camping ban, because it's been going on from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast.
You know, maybe we should arrange for a health meeting here on the air and invite everyone who's listening to come to it to present their ideas.
That'd be great. That's what we should do.
Well, let's see. Let me think about that in the next few minutes. If you have some ideas about where you think we could meet, you know, I was going to say,
there's a place right here, right on top of the mall.
Right.
You suggested the great, you know, these parking lots that are open and the shelters and there's bathrooms and all that.
That's true.
Well, there's a place right here on top of the mall where the walnut tree, they cut the walnut tree, they're still trying to kill it.
That's right, across from the...
And there's a homeless wishing well right there.
That's right.
We should have it there. We should have the meeting right there.
Well, I think we should do it. Why don't we assemble, let's say this, that I'd like to announce for anyone who's interested, there'll be a meeting today at 2 o'clock. Does that sound good, Dan?
Sounds great.
That's fine. 2 o'clock at the Homeless Wishing Well. And if it's raining, Homeless Wishing Well, for those who don't know where it is if it's right off between Pacific Avenue, I guess, is Cedar Street, the next street over?
Right.
It's right between those two, right near the very top of the mall, near the
Asian Rose.
By the Asian Rose. Yes, that's a restaurant that's nearby. You go past the... I guess the Benton restaurant. There's a Japanese restaurant as you head through Pacific Avenue, and it's the Homeless Wishing Well. It's for the old.
And there's a big 2-story parking lot that just built here, and there's plenty of bathrooms, plenty of things we can use here while we're here.
That's right. So I think if that's an excellent idea. We should show up, everyone show up at 2 o'clock today.
And this parking lot closes at 1 o'clock at night.
Right, and the parking lot will close at 1 o'clock, and who knows, maybe if people are there, it won't close at 1 o'clock, because
right.
people will be there and they won't be able to close it. You never could tell.
Okay.
So 2 o'clock again, everybody who's interested, there'll be a Huff meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and campers, and anybody who's interested in the situation in the city here with the camping ban, come on down to the Homeless Wishing Well. If it gets too wet, we're going to go into the parking garage right nearby.
Right.
And the Homeless Wishing Well, again, is at Pacific Avenue. It's right between Pacific Avenue and Cedar Street. It's the walkway area you traverse when you go from the Java House to the Pacific Garden Mall. People know that. It's...
And can I say something? We have
sure.
to unite.
I agree.
If we don't unite, you know, with this separation, it's like we have to unite.
I agree completely.
They tell them just like the message, you know, like they say about people who come over the border and get new jobs, they tell them to go over there. Well, same thing with the homeless. They tell you to go everywhere, except at the town, you know, you want to stay at.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Thank you very much, Joe. Call again.
Okay.
Well, so we've got a meeting coming up. Of course, you know, you probably feel the way I feel about meetings. What's the point of that? Well, I don't know. We've been having Huff meetings the last few days, Dan, on kind of small gatherings. We occasionally meet in Denny's and other places, trying to think of things to do. We've been kind of gathering lyrics for homeless Christmas carols, meaning carols that really give you pungent, sharp, real lyrics about what's really going on in Santa Cruz. And we're hoping to sing some of those downtown and do a little creative panhandling and a little creative singing and confront the city council members, the businesses, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, all those who are either actively colluding and making the homeless criminals or who are letting it happen with an oh dear, oh my, what can I do, oh well. So we, in past Huff meetings, we've gotten some Christmas carols together. We need more. So you got some lyrics, please, you know, to your favorite Christmas carol jingle. We want some great lyrics. Get pen and pencil together, sit down, and give us some stuff that gets to the heart of issues. Give me a call at 423-HUFF if you catch it off the air. That's the phone number for Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And there's an answering machine on that number. Or give me a call here on the air at Free Radio Santa Cruz at 427-3772. That's 427-3772. Again, the issue of the day, the issue of the moment, the issue that is being pressed not by the campers. Campers are just trying to be left alone. They're just trying to be able to live safely and securely on a piece of property purchased in 1987 with homeless monies, CDBG funds, and I believe it's some Stuart McKinney funds, and then bought again in 1991 by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Well, homeless, got that? Homeless, we understand what that means. Homeless, H-O-M-E, sometimes hard for those guys to understand with their homes. You know, it's a difficult situation. The property was purchased for homeless people, and it is now being used by bureaucrats on their own schedule with their own intentions, and they are lying to homeless people about what they are doing. They're making deals, and then they're breaking them. And that's what we're going to be discussing, and I'm going to go into this in great detail. I'm going to play you the tape of the deal session when Daryl Darling, the head of Community House Project, and Paul Marceau, head of the Open Air Shelter, promised campers there would be a campground at the very earliest until January 1st with a 10-day notice. And then I will plan anyway to see what happened. We will discuss that in great detail. However, we also have in the studio a man who has been patiently waiting to get on the air. He showed up in the kind of the drizzle. I guess it's not quite raining. It was raining earlier today, but it wasn't raining. By the way, they're making people move out of the campground in the rain. I mean, can you dig it? They won't even let them wait until a sunny day. These great humanitarians of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, I guess it's their way of giving everybody a free shower. Maybe could that be it? Or maybe we can give the Citizens Committee for the Homeless a special shower as well. I don't know. I mean, we can all put our heads together at 2 o'clock when we'll be meeting at the Homeless Wishing Well, which is again near the Asian Rose restaurant complex right off of Pacific Avenue. We call it the head or the foot of the mall. I don't know. It's the place nearest the, near the post office and the town clock right between Pacific and Cedar Street. That's a meeting at 2 o'clock, a Huff meeting. But as I said, I have with me in the studio a poet, counterculture figure about Santa Cruz. Introduce yourself and tell us how you're doing.
My name is Wolfstar Takar Sabadar. I've been homeless ever since I've been a teenager. Okay.
Keep going.
So I want to complain about just like all sorts of persecution that comes from citizens who call cops on people who are innocent.
So you've been here for how long, a little star?
I've been in and out of Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz has been our home base area basically for like 5 or 7 years, more or less.
And are you a man who sleeps outside or who uses shelters? What's your situation?
No, I have to avoid shelters. That's why I think it's very important. I live in a tree stump in the Redwoods, and I'm tired of being harassed.
And you are, in fact, what they would call an illegal camper, who, if you were doing this within the city limits of Santa Cruz, you'd be subject to the city's sleeping ban?
Yeah, and I think pretty much the right to exist is persecuted against in general everywhere, and that's just the police state, USA.
So I've seen you a lot on the streets. I've read your poetry because you're often distributing your poetry. You came up to me and you said that there were some particular incidents recently that particularly struck you and you thought that people should know about in terms of how police are treating homeless people and specifically how they're treating you.
Yeah, there's actually more than one issue. One is bus drivers. There's two bus drivers, a man, bus driver number 153 on his little shoulder thing, and a woman number 254 on her shoulder thing. They purposely don't give me rides, and I asked the bus driver, the man, the other day. He did it just two or three days ago, passing by on purpose, and then I saw him in the bus station, and he said, I asked why, and he said, because you're crazy. And he says, if he sees me on a UC campus, then he's going to call the cops on me, which I think is walkie-talkie torture, because I'm tired of, I've had the cops call to me. I've had hundreds and hundreds of confrontations through my life, and I'm not any threat to anyone's person or property. I'm like a very saintly, innocent, harmless, peaceful soul.
That's always been my experience. That's always been my experience with the little star, these dials, that is. I've heard of bus problems in other cities, San Francisco.
I want to add something. I have to pass through the UC campus to get home. I live in Bonny Doon, and sometimes, and especially in the rainy weather, the Bonny Doon bus doesn't run. And he passed me by at one of those instances where the last Bonny Doon bus of the day didn't run, so I had to take a university bus and then hike from there. So I have a thing, if there's time, I'd like to read off of this paper that I read.
Sure, you're going to be given that opportunity. I just had a great idea, a brainstorm, if I can get these mics to work. I'm beginning to think that whenever we find somebody on the air who has a problem, I'd like to find somebody in the audience who has a solution or is willing to work toward a solution to that problem. So I invite anyone in the audience, our listening audience, to call in and offer Little Star her or his support in tracking down these officials and making the proper complaints and writing the proper letters to the editor, or in planning protest demonstrations if that's what's necessary, or at least to begin the process of taking each one of these acts of discrimination or allegations of discrimination that come up seriously, and as citizens standing behind the people, at least so far as investigating what's going on. Would that be okay with you, Little Star, to get some support on this stuff?
Yeah, that's great. I often feel actually like suicidal because I don't get enough support in this world. I feel like I'm always trying to share love and give love and goodness to this world, and I'm so inspired and I'm so full of joy and inspiration that the world doesn't understand, and they think I'm some kind of like a monster or an enigma or something to be feared just out of misunderstanding.
Maybe this is a caller who's calling in to offer us some assistance.
Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. Hi, Little Star.
Hang on a second. Let me turn on the radio, Carl, so you can actually be heard. Can Little Star say something, Carl?
Hey, Little Star, I've been wondering how you are. I haven't seen you for a while. I have, proceed with, like, getting the bus company to cooperate with you. I had an incident that happened in 92. I was going to let it go. It's where this bus seat collapsed on me. Well, I got Enda Brennan to help me. I had to go through procedures.
Enda Brennan is a local attorney who actually was advising campers on Sunday as to their rights if they were to do a nonviolent protest today when the campground was going to be dispersed. That protest, by the way, is apparently not likely to happen, though it may still happen. And I still invite people, before they come to the 2 o'clock meeting, if they've got the energy for this, to go on out to the campground around noon and show their solidarity with the campers who, in essence, are being deported. That's what's happening. They are being deported under threat of arrest to a cold, windy beach campground. But let's get back to Little Star and his bus situation. Go ahead.
Yeah, the subjects were jumping. I was going to address that subject too. about what happened to our protest. So, a person I was just talking to was saying, he'll help an individual person do something specific, and then you bring it up on the air. So I think that that's in the spirit of everybody that's concerned here, that they'd like to help at least one or two people that want help, or want assistance. That's why I guess I was calling up, because you asked for it.
That's great. Well, Carl, would you like to get in touch with Little Star, give him your number out there, and have him contact you later, and then...
Well, if he's interested in that, it's a long procedure.
Well,
you want to deal with the metro system. The metro system hassled me after I tried to do stuff. I mean, I understand. I mean, they wouldn't give me rides. The one bus driver wouldn't give me rides, and the one lady bus driver accused me of stealing $4 in her cigarette case, and they got the security guard and everybody, and I said, look, you're not going to check my backpack. Things like that go on.
Well, I think that it really would be quite appropriate for you two to put your heads together. It doesn't mean you necessarily have to go through the metro bureaucracy. There's such a thing as appealing directly to the public, as doing you could do a public demonstration at the metro. You could do a public demonstration in front of the metro bureaucratic headquarters. You could do it with a bunch of other people who, if they have investigated the facts and they tend to believe that, you know, your rendition of things is accurate, we could go straight into a peaceful, direct confrontation.